And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's the little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Visit DirecTV.com. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to Is This Good? The show where we boldly, conclusively, and scientifically decide what things in this big wide world are good. I'm Matt Austin, and with me as always is production powerhouse Jason Doyle.
Hello.
Hi, JD. And today's guest is a former banker turned podcaster turned roving content creator. You may know him from the Basketball Jones, the Starters, or No Dunks, but he's currently on a quest to play 20 pickup games of basketball in 20 cities, in 20 countries, while eating 20 bananas and wearing one pair of flip-flops. It's the one and only international man of mystery, Lee Ellis. Lee, welcome back to Is This Good?
Thank you. Thank you so much for that introduction, Matt. You would find it quite hilarious how many people at my runs turn up with bananas and say, I brought you some bananas. It's happened more often than not. So the potassium intake.
Do you eat them in front of them to show them your thanks?
Absolutely.
Or do you put them in your bag and say, oh, that one's for later?
No. I always eat them while I'm there. And it's great. People have been very generous in the things that they've been bringing to the runs, but more than anything else, it's been bananas.
You're like the Jim Morrison of bananas. He used to take every drug that anyone would ever give them. Just give Lee Ellis a banana, and he's sucking it down.
I mean, that's so true, JD. Like Lee's traveling the world, you know, like a musician, like a rock star. They normally get drugs and booze brought to them and stuff. Lee's getting potassium.
Yeah. Well, I've actually got quite a bit of booze as well that's come along on the journey, so it's been quite good. People have been very generous, and it's been great fun.
You've been traveling the world. We're going to get to all of that, but today I would say you've in a sense traveled back in time.
I do
to your seat
like
in the Classic Factory in Atlanta. How does it feel to be back? I have to say, even though you probably haven't podcasted in a while, you're still a true professional. You spat out your gum 3 seconds before we went on air, which I do appreciate. In my head, I was wondering, I wonder if he's going to chew gum this whole podcast. I wonder if he's too cool for podcasting now. But you did. So how does it feel to be back?
It does feel like I was in the DeLorean a little bit there with JD looking like Dr. Brown and back in the studio. It's been... what is it? It's August, and I think my last studio show was probably October, I think.
October 10
or something like that. So,
I looked it up. October 7th, 2022.
Wow. Right. Okay, yeah. So, 10 months. Looks pretty much the same. I think there's a few extra little decorations, but other than that, you know, JD's looking great.
Thanks, man.
He's in shorts, which I appreciate. And
I literally had pants on earlier. I was like, I can't wear pants with Lee Ellis coming over.
No. I don't even pack pants when I go these days, JD. So,
we might be getting to some of that in the show. Just so I know, like, sort of how familiar you are with everything. Is it true that you've listened to every single episode of Is This Good?
You know me; I'm a big podcast head. There's not a podcast out there that I haven't listened to. So, of course, I'm just not a big podcast guy. That's just not me. So,
We had Cam Stewart on, your favorite.
So, actually, funny. Yeah, that was like 2 weeks ago or something like that.
Two or three weeks ago.
I do actually have that one in the can. I do want to listen to that one because I'm sure that one will be incredibly entertaining. So, I will check that one out. You have my word. I'll listen to that one, Matt.
Okay. Thankfully. All right. So your last podcast, like we said, was October 7th, 2022. It was titled, I just looked it up, End of an Era, because it was, of course, where you announced that you were leaving. I was listening to the show. I was surprised. Take me back to that moment. How long had this been brewing in your head before you decided to tell the guys? Because from what I understand, from when you told the guys that you were moving on to do your trip, which we're going to get to mm-hmm. the actual podcast where you said you were leaving, was not a long period of time, like maybe a week or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, there's no real, like, day that it was like, okay, I'm doing it on this day. It was more just a culmination of a build-up of things. I mean, you know, as you know, I like to travel a lot with my family, my boys, and certainly during COVID when we couldn't travel, that was kind of, like, frustrating for us because we like to get out. We like to, you know, go to visit family and friends around the world. And so I think when I went to Berlin a couple of years ago and I started playing basketball there, and I put those clips up on my Instagram, and they weren't, look, I'm not out there lighting people up by any means. I'm just trying to have fun and play. And I got a really strong response to that, and people started saying, hey, why don't you come to my city and come to my country and play and we'll put on a game. And I didn't think too much of it. And then, you know, last year, the same thing sort of happened in Barcelona when I was there. People, you know, said, come on out and play. And so I went and played. And at some, you know, some point along the way, I just started thinking, like, I wonder if I could actually make this happen. I wonder if I could actually do this. I then sort of tried to think of how I was going to make it all happen. And I don't really know. I didn't really know then. I'm still figuring it all out as I'm going. Right. But that's awesome. That is the part of it that I enjoy the most, that I, you know, things that have happened that there's no way I could have predicted them to have happened. Some things I've planned of it, but plenty of things I haven't, and that's kind of how it's coming together. So there are, you know, there's been incredible highs and there's been some devastating lows. There's no doubt about it. I mean, the wave of, and the roller coaster of emotions has been gigantic, but every day I can genuinely say that I'm learning. I'm figuring something else out. Something goes your way and you're like, oh, maybe this is going to work out, and then a couple of things go against you and you're just like, oh my god, how did this happen? So but it's a really fun adventure.
What does doing it mean to you? Like you said, oh, so I started thinking about this thing and I wondered if I could do it. So you set yourself a goal, gonna play 20 games of pickup in 20 cities and 20 countries over the course of, I think I saw somewhere you said over the course of 2 years. I don't know if the plans, I mean, it seems like you're going to blow past that, right? You're going to do it within a year. But, like, what does doing it mean? Does doing it just means doing the 20 games in the 20 cities and then stopping? Or does it mean taking that footage and rolling it into a show? Is the thing what it is that we are seeing now, which is, like, you going, clips on Instagram, social, things like that? Like, what does doing it actually mean?
So it's definitely a work in progress, I think, is the best way to answer that, because the initial 20 and 20 and 20 was really just to give it some structure and some target of, like, can I reach 20? Is that a doable goal? What I also learned after doing the first 5 cities and when I went to Africa was I can do more than just turn up and play and then leave. Like, I don't want this to just be like an ego trip of, like, hey, watch me play basketball. In Africa, that was really the most fulfilling journey, in the sense, because I hosted clinics with kids and I did some things where I was really helping people learn and understand and play the game and teach them the game. And then in addition to that, before I went, I contacted, you know, I mean, through our time at NBA TV and the Starters and things like that, you know, I have contacts still at NBA teams. And so I just contacted as many as I could and said, I'm going out to Africa to host clinics. If you guys have any old merchandise that, you know, you can donate for me to take, then send it my way. And I got so much of it. I got way too much of it. And
I ran into Brent Berry at a Spurs Clippers game.
Yeah.
Here in LA. And I was saying hello to him, and he's like, oh yeah, yeah, Lee just called me. He wants me to do something for, like, this tour that he's doing. I'm gonna get back in touch with him. And I just imagine you being like, Brent, I need you to get on a plane. I need you to come to Ljubljana.
Yeah, well, he was the first person I contacted, actually, Brent. Yeah, it was, anyway, so I got all this stuff. And so I took all this merchandise out there. I had so much of it. It was unbelievable. And so.
And how much of it did you steal?
No, I didn't.
Is this 100% going to charity here?
There's some, actually, I couldn't pack it all. I had so much of it that I'm holding on for another tour at some point. But, you know, I took that. And so when I gave these out to the kids and the people who came running, man, it was such a fulfilling experience to see these kids light up with legit NBA merchandise. And so that's when I learned, okay, I can do more than just play. I can actually host clinics and try to give people a little bit more of a long-lasting sort of basketball impact. And I was so inspired by the talent and the enthusiasm of the boys and the girls out there. I mean, these kids are playing some of them, a lot of them, in no shoes, and they're playing on asphalt, and it's 1,000 degrees, you know, and they're running up and down nonstop. And so when you see kids like that who love and enjoy the game so much, and you know you can potentially have some sort of impact on their lives, it's awesome. You just, I come away from that hoping to be able to share the content in a way that translates everything I've just said to you, but that's very challenging. That's very difficult to be able to do all that, because at times I'm shooting it myself. At times I'm just handing my phone off saying, just shoot us whatever you can here. And
okay, well, so basically you are your own producer on these, on this tour. I was just curious, did you want to apologize to me or JD about anything? about any of your forcing us along with any of your crazy ideas? Yes. Now that you're on the other side of the camera.
Matt, I wish you and JD could come on these trips. I truly do. And I don't just mean that in a, in a joking way, because, you know, the chemistry you need to have with a camera crew and a production crew and just people to help you out. And I've hired crews along the way, like in Zambia and Kenya and South Africa, I had crews that I recruited, and they did a fantastic job shooting stuff and editing stuff. But, there's a difference between, hey, this is what I'm doing, can you shoot it? Versus, like, we're sitting around the breakfast table, this is what I'm trying to do, get two or three camera angles, you know, and all those sorts of things. So I knew it was going to be difficult. I'm not asking for sympathy or empathy or anything like that. I knew it was going to be challenging, and I knew that, you know, I've got what I've got, and now I'm trying to put that together. And that's also
so,
a,
so
that's
you're
also
saying you have
an
like
adventure.
Basically a year's worth of footage. Ideally, what do you do with it?
Well,
like, is it a 30-minute, you know, a 6-part series with a 30? Come on, Lee. I live in LA now. Come on, we want to know what the juice is here. I saw on Instagram you called up Ted Sarandos. You flew to the Netflix offices. Apparently, you were punching protesters in the WGA and SAG, trying to work your way through. You said, "Not interested." Okay, mates. I got a suitcase full of basketball tapes. I got to get them to Ted.
Well, I've got right now. I can say I've got a Croatia feature, a Zambia, a Kenya, a South Africa, and a France feature. Now, of those, the France one, the Paris one, is the only one that's really close to being released. That should be hopefully within the next 2 or 3 weeks.
And what is that, like a half hour? Like
no, that one's approximately 14 minutes, I think.
Okay.
It is. Yeah. Now, there's no real time. I mean, I would love to be consistent, say every episode is 14 minutes, but there are so many different parts of it as well. There's the basketball part, and the Paris one is really all basketball. That's all one. But like in Zambia, in Kenya, I mean, there's the clinic, there's the game, there's me going to the Masai Mara, which was just one of the most incredible life experiences I've ever had. There's eating food at this place called Carnivore, where I was eating literally every animal that exists on Earth. So, you know, I've got the whole food element as well, where I've got these different meals. Like in Lithuania, I was eating this incredibly rich, beautiful purple soup. In Manila, I was just eating. You know,
what's in this? What's in this soup?
It's beetroot.
Purple.
Yeah, it's beetroot.
Right,
it's thick. And you know, you get the big bowl of it. And I'm like, oh great, I'll eat this. I had about like 5 scoops, and I'm like, I am just stuffed right now.
Is there anything that you've been served on this entire trip that you've been like, too weird for me?
No, but
did you eat balut in the Philippines? Did you eat that like fermented chicken?
I ate
egg
I think so. Now, when I was in the Philippines, I was like, you would have loved it, Matt, because they were all the restaurant dictator. I said, order whatever you want, as long as it's Filipino, I don't care what it is. And so the table was just full of dishes, and I was just eating them. But one of my favorite experiences was in Zambia. The day I arrived in Lusaka, and they took me out for a traditional Zambian meal, and they put on an incredible spread, and the lady who was talking to me about it, you know, she said, this is blah, blah, blah. She said the word, and I said, okay. And then she moved on, and I said, sorry, so what is that? And she said, caterpillar. And I'm like, oh, I know she didn't say caterpillar off the top. You can say it, you just didn't say it. So I was eating caterpillar, but they're kind of fried, so they're not like, you know, it's not like you're picking one off the ground and eating a slimy, squirmy one. But yeah, I mean, and I think it was more just the meal experience in Zambia, where they eat, you know, they call it shima, where it's like this potato where you sort of you formate the potato in your hand, and then you mop everything up, and then you just eat it with your hands. And so that's, you know, that's a different experience when you're just around with strangers and everyone's just kind of like eating like that. But I did it and I survived, so it was great. I mean, that's what I'm doing. I'm opening myself up to any of those experiences. The last thing I want is to go and eat a Pizza Hut or anything in a country like that.
Yeah, well, I mean, you have to do that. But okay, so you're talking about like food you've eaten. What's the drunkest you've been on this trip?
Oh. I know this.
Yeah, I think JD knows because I texted him the day after. It was early on in Ljubljana. And I had an interview with Saša Doncic, Luka Doncic's father. And he was a fantastically welcoming man. And after the interview, he said, you know, do you want to go out for a dinner? And, you know, I sort of thought we probably would have a beer or something. And he took me to a traditional Slovenian restaurant. And he's quite a celebrity in Ljubljana, obviously. I mean, he was a basketballer himself. He's a big guy and he's obviously Luka's dad. And so we were in the restaurant and I thought we'll probably have a meal and a couple of glasses of wine and then we'll go home. And the food just did not stop coming and neither did the wine.
And, El vino did flow.
You know, and Saša sort of says, you know, do you want some more as he's filling your glass up with wine there? And you know, I'm trying, like, why not? I'm having a good time. And so what happened that night was, well, actually, one thing I don't think I've told on any other podcast, so here's an exclusive for you, Matt. Some guy tried to like attack me in there. Like I got up. We were the only ones in the restaurant at this point. It was like midnight, and I went to the toilet. And as I came back, this guy was just ranting, absolutely ranting at me. And I had no idea. I don't know if he was drunk or on drugs or something. He was on one of those. And luckily, Saša Doncic had just been to the toilet himself, and he sort of walked off and he heard what was going on. He came back and he kind of like diffused the situation and sort of like got the guy out of there. And I was like, what's going on? He just sort of, he didn't really explain it, but I think it was just some guy. I don't know how he even got into the restaurant or whatever, but he was angry at me. He was angry that day, my friends. And I'm just glad Saša was there because it was very intimidating to have this big guy just like screaming in my face. Wow. And I was like,
JD, should we tell Lee that we paid that guy to come so he had a little...
So why'd you
on reality TV, you gotta juice it up a bit.
Well, exactly. I mean, you know, again, when you're in a country where the language is completely different like that and you're like, oh my God, what did I do? Did I insult somebody? Whatever. Anyway, so we got back to the table and we're still drinking. And the day before I had played the game, and so I had my basketball with me, but I'd left it in the car of the other person. His name was also Luca, who was sort of showing me around the city. And at some point I said to Luca, listen, can I just go and get my ball because I need it for the rest of the trip? So I got it. We went out to the car. I got it. And I came, you know, I was like, we were drunk, but not like just falling over at this point. But yeah. we were drunk enough. And I was like, all right, just put the ball down, Lee. Ignore it. About an hour later, that ball came out and it was zipping around the restaurant. There was elbow passes. There was spinning on the thing. I was just dribbling like this. And that's why I text JD the next day. I was like, JD, I could just...
Oh, hold on. You were dribbling... In the restaurant. Where Saša Doncic's father took you?
Yeah, you remember. Doncic, yeah. You remember, Matt, when he used to dribble a basketball all around Studio V with literally millions of dollars worth of equipment.
But I love this idea of like, look, I want to go to other countries. I want to take in their culture. I want to be respectful. I want to learn from them. It's just Lee with like a bunch of Maasai warriors. And then they're like doing their, you know, dance that is their local custom. And then Lee takes out his basketball, starts dribbling through them.
Lee with a basketball is literally David Brent with a guitar. It's like, go get the guitar.
It was.
Go get the basketball.
But the other guys I was with.
Do you have any traditional monuments that mean a lot to these people that I could dribble through? It's just very important to me. Perhaps any old cemeteries I could go between the gravestones like their pylons to work on my dribbling.
Well, that happened in Dubrovnik, which I don't know if you've been there or not, but it's a city with a million steps and I'm dribbling around there. And the ball kept dropping down and running out into the road and stuff. But it was one of those nights. I was like, I wish the cameras were rolling on this one because this would have been one of those potential go viral videos.
The next morning, did you call up Luka Doncic's father and say, "Hey, Saša, does Ljubljana have one of those IV services like they do in Las Vegas?"
Well, that's the thing. So we were going to Zagreb the next morning and. You know, I hadn't packed because, I wasn't expecting a super late night. I thought, you know, 8, well, I thought probably, you know, 10, 10.30 or whatever. And I had to walk back to the hotel, pack, get up and catch the bus to Zagreb. And it was just like, oh, God, I just got to... I mean, I was hungover, but I was like, I was also on a bit of a high because it was such a fun night. And yeah, but videos, unfortunately, there were some videos taken, but they've been destroyed, unfortunately.
So annoying.
I know. I mean, they weren't destroyed at the exact moment they were requested to be destroyed, but they have been since.
So aside from your potential attacker, what's the weirdo quotient on this trip? Like, who shows up at these things?
You know, you would be surprised at the lack of weirdos.
Really?
I mean,
okay.
The genuine passion and love for the No Dunk Starters crew history is unbelievable, especially because we haven't been on TV now for over 4 years. I mean, obviously, you know, tons of people still.
Well, Lee, other people listen to podcasts.
I know. I'm saying that, but I think the TV, you know, that's still the biggest.
Sure.
You know, the biggest showcase. Mm-hmm. But everywhere I've gone, and this is a thing that I think is has proven to me. I mean, you know, guys, I've been trying to sort of take the show on the road, do podcasts live. Well, now that I've been there and experienced it, I'm like more convinced than ever that's something that you guys should do. I mean, you definitely should, because the crowds everywhere are dying for a live show in Europe, in Africa, and Asia. I mean, Asia, wow. I mean, it's incredible out there. But not only that, I mean, in Europe, I mean, people... You guys, I'm sure, have seen on some of my posts, the crowds I've been getting for just me playing basketball are huge. And there's so many more people who can't make it, who were trying to make it, who were prepared to travel and they couldn't, whatever. And then when I get there, they're like, when's the live show? When are you guys coming over here and stuff? And I'm like, well, I don't know. But I know that the desire for that is huge. And so...
Let's get into a production problem now, because now you're a producer, right? Yeah. So you're sending yourself over to these countries, paying for your own flight, your own accommodations, and then you're going, you're meeting people, you're playing the game. So now we got to send 4 people or 5 people, I should say. I'm not involved in this. Let's say
no, you are involved, Matt. I'm telling you.
Okay, now we're sending 6 people. So it's 6 plane tickets to Europe. Then we're booking 6 hotel rooms. I'm assuming we're not sharing anymore.
I'm not sharing.
And now, like, how many people are coming to the show? What's the ticket price? How are we making this work dollars and cents wise?
Okay, well, obviously, you know, there's a financial aspect, but don't put that as the priority right now. Put the experience down as the priority, because that's truly what it, to me, is way more important. I know you've got to make money. I know someone's got to foot the bill. Sponsors, for one. I mean, you can get sponsors. I can.
Okay, hold on. I'm calling Brent Barry. Right?
No. But I mean, it's who's sponsoring today's show? Let me redo the ad reads. I'll see if I can get one of them on board.
Yeah, great question.
Well, Lee, I got some news for you. The ads are dynamically inserted, so
right.
No one will
let
know.
Let me do an ad read. I'll see if I can get one. Look, there's ways of making it happen. There's no doubt about that. But if you truly want to make it happen, it'll get done. And even if it does cost money at the start, who cares? Like, the experience you will gain from it is worth any expense that it costs. And that's the part of it that this whole journey that I'm going on is the most rewarding experience that I've got now. So many more life experiences. Now, look, I've got to make money. I've got to still feed a family and put a roof over my head and things like that. And, you know, things are happening. But the main point is, like, it can happen. It can be done. And it really doesn't take all that much work to get it done. And especially in Europe. And I've got the blueprint already. If you want it, Matt, it's...
yes, send it up.
The secret files?
I mean, I know there's ways it could be done. But there's no point in you not going. You must go, because people still talk about you in the same way as if you are still a full-time member of the crew. Again, when I've had these conversations in Asia and Africa and Europe, and people like, oh, what's Matty O doing these days? You know, like, or I love that new show that Matty O's doing and things like that. So... people still view you very much a part of the team. And
well, but I agree with you. Well, not about that part, but I agree that, like, we, you know, no one, like, you know, Skeets, Tass, Trey, and you, like, I wouldn't say you're famous in a Hollywood sense, but certainly amongst your audience, you know, people have a very deep relationship with you, because I know you've never listened to a podcast, but it goes directly into your ears, right? So it's a very intimate thing. You're doing it while you're driving, or while, you know, if they start to feel like these people are your friends, especially because over like the 2,000 episodes that you guys have done, every part of your life ends up coming out in some way or another, you know, way beyond basketball. So people develop relationships with you. So I have no doubt that if you know, me or Skeets or anyone or as a group or solo was like, hey, I'm going to be in Rome. Anyone want to come meet me? You know, people would come for sure. I think it's just a question of what is that thing that is happening and how is that story being told to make it interesting for people watching it at home? Because, you know, like part of your thing was you were like, oh, I got inspired to, well, you are always loved traveling, but you got inspired by playing pickup in foreign countries. And, but I think also a piece of it, or at least that you said on the show, is that you kind of became disenchanted with the NBA. And I was listening to the show going, fucking finally, this guy gets it, right, JD? Basketball.
Yes, preach, Lee. Preach.
I always thought you and JD would come around. But then you go away,
and every time, you know, I obviously follow you on every social media platform. So you say, basketball, it's not where it's at, man. And then you go, now you're making me watch strangers play basketball. I'm like, what the hell's going on here?
Well, it's not that I fell out of love with basketball. The NBA regular season became, you know, kind of like, I mean, I saw James Harden's requesting a trade again, you know, so nothing's changed, you know.
The more things change, the more they stay the same.
The one storyline that I did follow this season was the MVP conversation. I'm like, this is just crazy. Like, we can't just talk about it every single day. We can't possibly talk about it every day. So those are the things that, for me, became, you know, somewhat a little monotonous, you know, and I think the NBA's problem is there's way too many meaningless games. I think that's an issue they need to address, but I don't think they did that in the current CBA. In fact, they added more games, which I didn't think was the right solution. But anyway, again, I've fallen out of love with basketball before, you know, at the end of when Michael Jordan retired in 98 and I went to England and I fell in love with soccer and then I fell back in love with basketball. So maybe I will fall back in love with the NBA at some point, but I've found now that what I'm doing, you know, it's not, again, when I said earlier about the 20 and 2020, that was more just like, I want to give it some, you know, some structure and direction. Will there even be that interest? And now I'm at the point where I'm like, okay, I've got way more interest now. How am I going to manage all that? And again, when I've been in these places in Europe, the people have been so generous and so kind and so welcoming. And that's been the most amazing thing. And I'm like, man, I wish I could share this more with you guys, especially because people don't just want to talk about me. They want to know everything about the starters and the Basketball Jones and you know, and the no dunks and everything. And it's like, yeah, I mean, I wish they were here too. So, but hey, if you want to make it happen, let's do it. I mean, it's not a matter of, don't.
Well, I'd love to travel. I want to travel. I don't necessarily want to, you know, play pickup basketball.
You don't have
traveling.
To. That, you don't have to at all. Just bring your camera, though.
You little shit.
But I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you, like a live show in Europe or Asia or Africa would be a life changing event for you. And that's what I'm trying to sell to people is like, okay, I know you can't just ignore the financial aspect, but let's not.
Yeah,
make...
okay. Go ahead and get some dollars, and if someone's paying for it, sure. I'll travel. I'll travel to Asia. Fucking dribble a basketball through the Terracotta Warriors. I don't give a shit. Oh, man, fucking dunk. I'll dunk over the Great Wall of China.
But that, you know, there are some videos, and I've actually got another one coming out very soon, where I barely even feature in them because I'm not even trying to talk about. I'm not just saying everywhere I go, look at me play and look at my highlights. I'm trying to tell the stories.
You're getting some shots up, Lee. Let's be honest.
There's no doubt. There's a few ones of me, but this one, this guy in Tokyo that I played with just recently, it's all him. And it was so much fun. I just turned up, didn't know anybody there, and we played, and he was awesome. And so that's the other part of it is the unprepared and unplanned stuff. That's what I'm really enjoying the most because the spontaneity of it all, that's awesome. When you get like the stuff, I mean, I'm not sure if you're going to get to it, but when I met Drazen Petrovic's mum, I mean, that was one of the most incredible life experiences I've had that just happened to happen without any preparation.
Of course, yeah. When you're traveling, those are always the best moments, the things that are unplanned, that are spontaneous. It does sound lovely. I did get some questions via Instagram. I put out a call, so I might sprinkle some in.
Okay. Getting a sip out of my Turkish Airlines EuroLeague flask. You know,
okay, I can't see it. Where's the logo?
Just there. Well, there it is.
Oh, okay. It's very small. Okay.
What, did I give those out or something?
Yeah, sorry. No, delete that or blur that out, JD. Hey, unless
Matt,
Turkish Airlines.
Exactly. We were just talking about we need a sponsor.
I know. I'm not taking Turkish Airlines money, by the way.
Turkish Airlines flies direct from Los Angeles to Istanbul daily with connections to Paris, London.
All right. This question is from a guy named Jay Skeets. Do you know him?
I do, yes. Yes.
Okay, now famously you've said that the best airport to take a dump in is in Singapore. So he wants to know, what's the best airport? I don't think you've gone to Singapore on this trip, have you?
No.
Okay. What is the best airport dump you've had on this trip?
Well, it's probably in Seoul, actually. I was only there for 4 hours on the recent trip through to Manila. I had a 4-hour layover, and after a 14-hour leg from Atlanta, you know...
I got to jump in. Is your policy of never taking a dump on an airplane, has that stood through these 50 flights you've probably taken this year?
No, it hasn't.
He had an emergency coming back from England.
Well, that's where the streak was officially broken after I had the 5 pints of Guinness and a chicken curry the night before the flight.
But it was 5 pints of Guinness and a chicken curry sounds like a soccer hooligan chant or something.
But I got into the toilet before we even left the gate. So that was when I broke. But there's no doubt I have broken that streak a few times. I mean, I've taken some 14, 15-hour flights here. So, you know what I've learned is you go in first and you check and you're like, okay, how hygienic is it? If it's okay, you do it and you just realize the rest of the flight is actually a lot more enjoyable. So, I'm just going to slip this one in. Got the Delta One coming back from Tokyo.
So. Hey, all right. Let's get those sky miles working, buddy. Your frequent flyer points must be off the
Well, not really, because I haven't really been flying much Delta. It's been I've been Euro.
What about the Delta family? Don't they have airlines?
I mean, you might want to delete this part because I still don't have my bags from my trip to Asia. They left after I left. And
who are we deleting this for?
Well, because I don't want to slag on any airlines, but Korean Air.
Well, which airline? Let's slag on them.
It's Korean Air. They, man.
I knew it.
Yeah. Anyway.
Okay.
You didn't just leave your shit in Seoul.
The thing is, this is a crazy thing. They've got my bag.
You leave your shit and I will keep your shit.
They've got my bag, but the coordination to get it back is just insane. So
we're keeping your bag until you can hit a half-court shot.
Yeah.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Talking about you being on all these planes and talking about how you never listen to a podcast, I actually have to know, have you seen a current movie or TV show in the past year? Because if you still have it, I might yank my headphones out and close my laptop.
Well, give me a year. I started watching Everything Everywhere All at Once. Is that it?
Started but didn't finish?
Didn't finish. Didn't enjoy it. Enjoy it.
Yeah. Okay. You think we're going to have to delete you talking about Korean Airlines? We're going to have to delete that. It's the most beloved movie of the last 2 years.
I couldn't believe how long that took to get going. I probably gave it half an hour. And I'm like, what? didn't it win three or four? Didn't it win three or four?
It
awards?
Won everything.
Yeah. So there's that.
Okay. So far we're at a no.
How many times have you watched Mrs. Doubtfire?
it hasn't really been on. I don't think it's on Delta anymore. Yeah. But Turkish Airlines, they have the widest selection of videos and movies. But, I end
up... Could you get your tongue out of Turkish Airlines' ass, please?
Oh, let me just have a little drink out of my... Oh, hang on. I haven't got the label there. There it is. Yeah.
Well, what are you doing on these planes? I don't understand. Are you just staring at the armrest in front of you?
You know what you know what I do actually spend a lot of time transferring video files to my hard drives and things like that, and trying to log and organize those things. Right. And
Jesus, that's fucking thrilling. I'm surprised that's not already an option on the in-flight. Watch a loading bar go from 0% to 100%.
That's the time when I really, you know, because that's the deadest time when you're in the air. So it's like, you may as well just slog your way through it now. But this is a problem. Both my hard drives are in Manila still. So I hope I get them back.
Why? You flew Korean Airlines back from Manila too?
No, I flew Philippine to Tokyo and then Delta from Tokyo.
Okay, so why? It's a long story.
It's a long story. My bags are having a great time.
I cannot believe. JD, if you had to bet, do you think he would have watched at least one fucking movie to completion? He's been on. How many flights have you been on? A quick estimate.
Probably 20, I suppose. I mean,
he's been on 20 flights. He hasn't watched anything.
He's been going to Europe and Asia. Yeah. So we're talking like between 10 and 14 hour flights. He hasn't watched a single.
That means he's logged hundreds of hours in the air. I've hundreds of hours in the air.
But I've watched
old movies.
Yeah, old movies. Yeah.
Movies you've seen.
Pulp Fiction and, you know. Yeah. Stuff like that. Yeah.
I mean, you know what? That's fair because I watch either shitty movies or movies I've seen before on flights. I don't like watching anything new.
Yeah, I mean,
that's not the experience I want. I want, you know.
Oh, well, no, it's not new. Leonardo and Brad Pitt with Scorsese.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yes.
Okay, Tarantino. Honestly, that's in the last 10 years.
Tarantino.
I'll say it counts.
Yeah.
That counts.
Okay, that counts.
But even that, I mean, I don't know.
Didn't care for it?
How'd you feel about them playing with the history of the Manson family at the end?
I don't know. I mean, Quentin Tarantino and me, we have quite a relationship because I think he's made some of the worst movies I've ever seen, but also some of the best I've ever seen.
Interesting.
I just find it's like, I don't like Kill Bill at all. I didn't like that. But Inglourious Basterds and Pulp Fiction, absolutely. In fact, I watched Pulp Fiction just recently on the flight back because that is a great movie. And that's one of those ones you can watch over and over. So. But yeah, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Hey, I listened to a podcast with him and Conan. That was a great podcast.
Okay, was Conan's podcast?
Yes, yes.
Okay, that's a good podcast, right? Funny, interesting.
Very interesting. They've had quite an upbringing in Hollywood at around about the same sort of time, and they went through a lot of stuff together, and so very interesting. So there you go. I've listened to one.
I feel like once if you listen to the Conan podcast, it might say at the bottom, like, if you enjoyed this podcast, you might also like, is this good?
Yeah.
Well, podcast with two people you know. Okay, here's another Instagram question. This one is from Little Jack Horner. I guess it's a little bit of an is this good question here. Taking to-go food from the airport and bringing it onto the flight to eat it. Is this good? Did you do this at all?
I've done it, yes. I mean, it's not like a regular thing, but I think leaving Atlanta, if I leave like at, say, 5 o'clock in the afternoon, then I'll buy a little salad at the gate just before I leave to take that on, because sometimes the, you know, depending on what the onboard meal is, I like to have it as a backup there. So, yes, I do it, but, or, you know, I've done it.
What about something that might smell more than a salad?
Well, that's part of it, I think. I mean, I'm conscious of the fact that if you have a salad, maybe you wake up the person next to them by shaking it. But apart from that, you know, the odors, because people bring Chick-fil-A and stuff like that on a plane. And again, it's not the worst smell in the world, but it's just more like, did you really have to bring that? I mean, you shouldn't be allowed to bring... JD, how far did you get with your curmudgeon airlines? And maybe we can... maybe there's something with that. Because you know what, JD?
Yeah.
If you can't put your luggage in the overhead compartment within 3 seconds...
You should be banned from flying for a year.
Forever. And your luggage is thrown out. You don't get it back.
Yeah.
3 seconds you get. Because...
Yeah. No, I agree with that.
The people who get on and they struggle and battle and it's like... You're in row 10 and people are trying to get to row 50 or whatever. It's like, why did you bring that on in the first place? You know, and get rid of all these like trolley bags. And it's only like a backpack now is all you're allowed. A small.
Well, if it's backpack. A backpack, it should be going under the seat in front of you.
Well, fine. But the main thing is a backpack can go up easily and you're done. But it's the, you know, people bring like the biggest luggage they can and throw it in the overhead compartment, and especially when you're on those small planes.
Okay, but you're also talking about how your hard drives are in Manila, your bags in Korea.
Yes.
If you carried on, with as big a bag as they would allow you, this wouldn't be a problem.
Well, this is my own fault for the hard drives, because usually I put one in the carry-on, or one in my check bag and then one in my carry-on, because the thing is, when I transfer them, I like to transfer them to both hard drives so that they're on, so I, you know, keep track of it all. But this time, I, you know, laziness meant that I just kept them in that bag and I said, fine, they'll go there. And now I'm paying the price for it. So
they'll get here. They'll get here.
They'll get here. But so you would you would it have been possible for you to carry on, or you're just not into it?
There are times I have done only carry on at times, even though I despise myself for doing that. But I definitely do it because of that reason of sometimes, you know, transferring through a city and getting through customs quickly. It depends on how long I'm in a city, for example, as well. Like, I went to Turkey for 3 days, so that was only carry-on. But, you know, the longer journeys, like Africa, was like 17 days. So I took three bags on that one.
Oh, are you doing any laundry in your sink?
Yes. Not in the sink, no, but laundry when I need to do it. Yeah.
Okay. That's good. Lee, if you don't mind, can we do some quick housekeeping?
Please.
And, you know, please feel free to jump in at any point.
Just gonna have
you must
sip.
Miss hearing some housekeeping. Well, if you're listening on the No Dunks feed, thanks for checking out the show. One thing I want to tell you is that we have our own feed. It's called Is This Good, like the name of the show. You should search that out and you should subscribe to the show. Why should you do it, even if you're listening on the No Dunks feed? Two reasons. Once summer ends, this will be taken off the No Dunks feed and it'll only be in the Is This Good feed. And that way you will not miss an episode. Mm-hmm. And more importantly, right now you are missing an extra show every week. That's a show called The Great Beyond that JD and I do. It's a companion pod to this show. Last week, for instance, was amazing. We heard a story about JD getting pantsed in a toga.
That's right.
60 people saw his schwanz. Mm-hmm. I talked about an awkward trip I took to a Hungarian bathhouse. Lee, you ever been to a Hungarian bathhouse?
Not a Hungarian, no. But
okay.
Yeah.
Then I don't want to know about it. We found a man that's addicted to Tic Tacs. A man that eats more Tic Tacs per day than any. You'll be shocked by how many Tic Tacs this guy eats. Lee, speaking of JD getting pants in his toga, we talked about this last week. Have you ever been pantsed?
Yes.
I don't know what they call it in Australia.
Dacked.
But...
Yeah.
Dacked, yeah.
Dacked?
Yeah.
Okay.
I got dacked on the school bus on the year 11 camp.
Year 11, so yeah. you got a full complement of pubic hair by that point.
Yeah.
We're talking boxers down as well, everything.
Yeah. Wow.
But
yeah.
Weren't you sitting?
No, because we were on a school camp, so on the drive, it was like a 10-hour drive. And I just got up from my seat, and my old mate Lenny, he was the dacking king. He would dack everyone.
The dack king.
He got me. Yeah. So, yeah.
And it was embarrassment?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I mean, like it's embarrassing because obviously you're just not expecting it at the time. But
were you known as kind of like the guy who got pantsed on the school trip?
No, because Lenny used to just dack everybody. So, you know, everyone got it at some point. That was just the time I got it. You know, I guess when you think about it, though, on a bus, I mean, a lot of people are actually looking forward anyway. I was up toward the back end, so it probably wasn't as bad as I imagined it. But that one is tattooed in the memory because he got me.
Yeah.
But, look, when it's you, it was tough. But Lenny got a few others really well, so I appreciated that it was just my turn that day.
So you've never been the dacker, just the dackie?
Yeah, I mean, I would
or
have.
Or the dackery, I don't know what they call it there.
I think that, I guess the dacker, I guess. I mean,
Dacker.
Yeah. Yeah, I've done my fair share of dacking for sure.
Okay.
But, you know, yeah.
Good,
it's
good,
a part.
Good.
It's a part of life, isn't it? You know,
it sure is.
It is better to give than to receive. All right. We also have merch. Go to isthisgoodpod.com to get the Is This Good retro logo tee or hoodie. Send topics for a future show to isthisgoodpod@gmail.com. And don't forget to subscribe to Is This Good on YouTube. That's where you could see Lee's cute little face. He looks very tanned, very refreshed from his travels. You can see other things, like, for instance, on The Great Beyond, I told the story about how Jill, my girlfriend's car, got beaten in with a bat on the street.
Yeah.
And they left a little graffiti calling card. I showed the graffiti calling card. Sneak 21. He's out there. We're going to find him. Subscribe and watch on YouTube. Leave a review on Apple Podcast. Lee, I got to be honest with you. We're like probably 45 minutes plus in. I don't even know what to do with you at this point. I got so much stuff I could do. Let's do this. We have a new segment here.
Okay.
It's called Is This a Good Rule? And the introduction to it, even though I've just named what it is, goes like this. The internet is full of people trying to tell you how to live your life. It's time to decide if they know what they're talking about in Is This a Good Rule? All right, so Lee, basically we ask people to send in like rules from the internet or from books, and Matt D. sent me an email that said, I've recently read a book by Sam DeBrito called No Tattoos Before You're 30, What I'll Tell My Children. It runs through a list for his daughter and his son when he finally has them, and I picked out a handful that I would enjoy getting yours and JD's take on, as well as any guests. So there's, he sort of divided them into rules for his eventual daughter, rules for his eventual son. So since you guys all have boys, I'm going to ask you a few from the son section.
Okay.
So rules for his son. First one, get crazy haircuts before you go bald. Do it all, son. Mohawks, mullets, rat tails. Who cares if old ladies won't get in lifts with you? That's what youth's for. So, I mean, you've had something shaved into the back of your head.
Yes, yeah.
But have you ever had crazy haircuts? You've had, like, many different hairstyles.
Yeah.
But I don't know if any of them are crazy.
I mean, I've had the mohawk, the flat top.
Well, you've had a mohawk?
Yeah, have we not but, seen I mean, a picture the, of this? In 2002, when David Beckham was at the...
You know, oh, a faux hawk.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Everyone had that going for a while there. You know, I dyed my hair blonde there for a while, which was fun, but it was way more maintenance than I anticipated. So that only lasted probably a year. But yeah, I mean, I guess I haven't sort of had, you know, the crazy stuff. Although my soon-to-be 7-year-old Oscar, just the other night, we were getting ready for bed and he was having his shower and he came into the bedroom and he was just crying. And I'm like, Oscar, what's the matter? And he goes, I look ugly. And I'm like, what are you talking Aww. About? And he goes, look, and he'd given himself a haircut.
Oh, my God.
He cut his own hair? And you didn't notice?
No, because, like, you know, when you come out of the shower, your hair's wet.
Dad's been absent, out in Asia and Africa. And, he doesn't even know what his own kid's hair looks like anymore.
Anyway, so so Roxana had to go downstairs and get the clippers out and basically give him a crew cut to neaten it all up, and he was terrified the next day. He wanted to wear a hat to school. This is only like last week, and I said to him, like I said, you can wear a hat if you want, but just so you know, if you do wear a hat and you don't normally, then that's going to actually draw more attention to what you're doing. So I'll leave it up to you, but whatever. Anyway, he didn't do it, and then he came home, and as I picked him up from the bus, he was telling the bus driver, he's going, and then I got the scissors out and went like this. So he got over it pretty quickly.
Yeah, I mean, that is a cool story. I agree. If you wear, especially if that hat is a fedora, that's going to draw.
Yeah.
Especially if it's Brian's hat, fedora with some flaps on the back. Lee, you could have been watching I Think You Should Leave on every plane ride, and then you'd know when the guys are messing with you by telling you a long story that's actually from a sketch show. Let's talk, you're talking about... You're talking about Oscar there, right?
Yes.
Or Sevi?
Yes, Oscar.
Oscar, yeah.
Yeah.
If he says, Dad, I want a rat tail, what are you going to... You're going to tell him that that's cool?
Rat's tail, that's a very interesting one, because I think that's quite a decisive one, because rat's tail is universal. You know, when I was 10 years old, all my friends had one. I wanted one. Dad put his foot down, said, no rat's tail. A couple of friends of mine got one without telling their parents, and they got home from the barbershop, and they were... Boom, they lost them as well. So there was a select few kids who were actually even allowed to have them in Sunbury. I'm definitely like, you want it? Do it, man. It's fine. It's only hair. It'll grow back. And I sort of want them to know, I want them to sort of go through the experience of like, well, if people at school are going to make fun of you or tease you, then they're going to be like, get rid of it. But if it's cool and they want to, you know, they want to be a part of that rat's tail group for a while, go for it, man. It's just hair. It'll grow back.
What about you, JD? Did you ever have like a mohawk or anything weird like that?
Never had a mohawk. I've had every color of hair though.
Right.
Sort of, you know, bleach blonde, silver, red, pink, blue, all of it. But yeah, never a mohawk.
Okay, so it sounds like you agree with that one, Lee. Mm-hmm. So you're saying good rule. Learn to play a musical instrument. It's far more mesmerizing to the opposite sex than being able to play squash. First of all, I would say, Sam DeBrito, what if your son is gay?
Yeah.
Not very progressive here.
I think gay guys are very impressed with other gay guys' squash abilities.
Yeah, I'm sure they are. But Lee, I don't know if you think this is a good rule, but as far as I know, you don't know how to play a musical instrument. Some would say your voice is your instrument. I would say if that's true, then you probably didn't take lessons. But
there's two things.
An instrument.
Yeah, there's two things I would change about my upbringing as a youth. One would be learn a language, Spanish, most likely. And the second would definitely be learn an instrument, most likely the piano. Those are two things, or the acoustic guitar. I mean, and actually Sebastian, my 11-year-old, has just signed up for music class. And I was like, any instrument you want, I'm going to buy it for you. I want you to just give it your best. And those are definitely things that I would love to have, rather than spent all the time on the basketball court as a kid, I would have loved to have learned how to play the piano. I think, there's viral videos going around, you know, of people who just play a piano like out in the street and someone comes along and starts singing to them and things like that. Mm-hmm. I think those are so cool and I think that's such a talent. There's this girl actually on TikTok, Ukrainian girl, who just plays the piano and it's just beautiful. So I would love to be able to play it. And, I think it is incredibly admirable when people can just pick up an instrument and start playing it like that. And there's actually a guy in Belgrade who played the piano, and he told me that he felt playing the piano helped improve his game of basketball because it's something to do with the way that his mind was operating and things like that. And I didn't have any reason to disbelieve him. So yes I am very, very much encouraging my boys to play any instrument they want, but I would love to be able to.
You should take up the piano because it's probably the one instrument you could dribble on top of.
But I don't know. I mean, I would like to. I used to be able to play, you know, what's that song from Beverly Hills Cop?
Axel.
Yeah. I used to be able to play that on the piano, like the first, I don't know, five notes. And I was like, oh, that's cool. That was my party trick.
A real Harold Faltermeyer over there.
Yeah, you and Ross Geller. Learn to fight. I don't care if it's boxing or jiu-jitsu. The rule is you never get physical until they touch you or a woman. Then you'll know how to break their jaw. Okay. Learn how to fight. A good rule?
Well, yeah. Learn to defend yourself, I think, for sure.
You didn't take up any specific disciplines, did you?
No, I didn't. No, I think I did karate for like 3 months when I was 9 or something like that. But I wasn't black belt immediately, so I was like, this is not working out. No, definitely, I think nowadays it's very important to be able to just know that if someone gets aggressive with you, you can just, have some ability to fight back and stop anything from getting out of hand.
Well, were you confident that you could have taken that on, that drunk guy in Ljubljana?
No, not at all, because he was one of those ones that's like, it's so unstable. I'm like, I don't know what's going to happen here. I mean, I guess if push came to shove, I would have just thrown back some punches. But I mean, it was a very unsettling experience because I didn't do anything. I hadn't seen this guy. I hadn't been there. So he literally must have just come off the street and was looking for trouble. And, I'm just glad Sasha was there to...
Exactly. I think it's pretty... You're pretty safe to throw a punch knowing that you got probably like a... How big Sasha's
he's
like?
Big. Yeah, he's probably 6'7", probably, 220 pounds.
I thought he'd be bigger than that.
No, he's a big
dude. He
sounds
tiny.
Yeah.
I could take him. all right, what about you, JD? Did you... I feel like your kids took some kind of martial art, didn't they?
They took Taekwondo, and then Lincoln got pretty serious about Jiu-Jitsu, which I was trying to encourage Jackson to get into as well, because he would be playing basketball or mostly in basketball. But I think if you're doing Jiu-Jitsu, you get used to having a guy's hands on you, and mm-hmm. in basketball, it's a quote unquote non-contact sport, but there's guys on you all the time, and he doesn't like that, but he gets uncomfortable in that feeling. So if you get comfortable with having somebody's hands on you or trying to hurt you, then I think that it's a plus for any sport, and just in general confidence too.
Yeah.
I would hate for one of my boys to be in the situation that Lee was in, where you just like, this situation is going to get out of control and there's nothing I can do about it. So, yeah, I think jiu-jitsu is great for kids. So,
Well, Lee, do you abide by that? I think it was in Fight Club. What's the line like? You don't know anything about yourself as a man until you've taken a punch. Have you ever taken a punch?
Yeah. I mean, in the younger days, you know, in the nightclubs when you're in your 19s and 20s, there's been a few punches thrown. I remember I was dancing.
High on cocaine.
No. Just drunk and in Sunbury, you know.
Lads.
I remember just dancing one night and this guy just started throwing punches. I thought he was trying to punch someone behind me. So I didn't.
Oh, I thought he was trying to dance.
I was dancing and the next thing I know, he threw and he missed like three or four and I sort of looked around. And then like other people came in and broke it up. And I was like, why was he trying to fight me? I was just dancing, you know.
Your dancing was so offensive to him.
Yeah. He hated it so much.
There was one time in London as well, this guy, this drunk guy was just being an idiot and he actually threw a punch at a friend of mine and I just jumped on him straight away and I had him down on the ground. I mean, I didn't throw any punches. Again, everyone sort of breaks it up pretty quickly, but yeah. I wasn't going to do anything major to him, but I enjoyed kind of choking him.
Wouldn't you love to travel without the actual, you know, traveling part? For example, I want to go to Lisbon, let's say. I just snap my fingers, I'm there. No driving to the airport, no flight delays, no fools at security who still don't know that, yes, you need to take your laptop out of your bag and place it in the tray. Oh my God, how long have we been doing this? Travel without traveling. I want it both ways, but that's not possible. It is with Mack Weldon, though. Guys tend to think looking sharp means starchy Oxfords and stiff chinos rather than effortless comfort. But this is possible to have it both ways. Mack Weldon makes timeless apparel with modern performance fabrics for guys who want to look and feel sharp without sacrificing comfort. From their light-as-air underwear to innovative anti-odor tees and versatile yet comfortable pants, Mack Weldon has a full range of clothes that never go out of style. I've got it all. I got the Air Knit underwear. I got the Ace Collection sweatpants. I've got the Silver Peak polo. Everything fits perfectly. All I get is compliments. Mack Weldon has figured this stuff out. Because performance fabric usually means clothes that look or feel sort of techy or shiny. Mack Weldon clothes are designed to fit your style and the demands of a busy life. They look like regular clothes, which is good. I want regular clothes, but feel like the latest in modern comfort. They're the go-to choice for guys who want to look great without even trying. Get timeless looks with modern comfort from Mack Weldon. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order with the promo code NODUNKS. That's MackWeldon.com, promo code NODUNKS.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
There's only one thing left to do, and that's play subjective trivia.
Yes.
All right, so subjective trivia is just like regular trivia, except only I know the answer. So I was thinking, I didn't know what to ask you, Lee, but I was thinking, once this tour is over, you don't know what you're going to do next. I don't know what you're going to do next. So I had some ideas of jobs that you might be qualified to do.
Okay.
So today's question is, which of these jobs do I think you'd most want to do? Okay.
All right.
So
okay.
I'll go through the jobs one by one. Okay. And then when I name them, you tell me what you think your qualifications are. Okay.
Okay.
So job number one, snuba instructor. So just so people know, I'm not saying scuba instructor. Yes. I'm saying snuba instructor, which is, we'll explain what that is, so why you might be qualified.
It's kind of a hybrid between scuba and snorkeling. So you're not snorkeling, you're going definitely deeper under the water, but you're not going super far down. You're kind of tethered to the gas, or the, not the gas, the oxygen tank on the surface, which follows you around. It's a really good introductory to, you know, again, going beyond just snorkeling on the surface, but not going so far down where you're trying to explore the Titanic or anything like that. Really, really fun thing. Takes a little bit of getting used to.
Yeah, Lee, you've been gone for a while, but something happened with people exploring the Titanic. So I did see that.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wait.
Yeah.
I'd like to dribble a basketball on the Titanic.
Well, yeah, in that little tank that they took down there anyway. Yeah, so really, really fun experience I've had with Sebastian, my now 11-year-old. And I enjoy it too, because scuba diving for me, I think I would do it, but I also, look, as an asthmatic my whole life, anytime I've had any restriction on oxygen flow or anything like that, I've never felt comfortable. But snuba is good enough that even if you do have to rise quickly to the surface, you still shouldn't go super quick. But it's not quite as dangerous as if you're scubaing, 40 or 50 feet down.
Yeah, I mean, it's like snuba is like the theory of you take two things that are good that people like scuba diving and snorkeling, and then you combine them together. And that makes it better. Like, people love the guitar, people love keyboards. You make a keytar, everyone agrees that's better than the two other things, right?
Yeah. Who used to play that? Was it someone, Def Leppard or someone? Didn't they used to play that, the guitar?
Oh, I'm sure a keytar showed up somewhere in the Def Leppard lexicon.
Yeah, probably not the drummer. The downside,
too
Lee,
soon,
is...
Too
yeah,
soon.
Yeah.
See, you're snooping... But you're a snuba instructor. This is your job, right? Yeah. This is your career. So you're going to do it on days when it's warm and it's nice.
Yeah.
But you're also going to have to do it on days when it's cold, which means you might have to wear a wetsuit. And if there's one thing we know about you, is you hate wearing a wetsuit.
Well, I hate wearing a wetsuit in a television studio, that's for sure. But the only places I've done it are in Aruba and Turks and Caicos. So, yeah, definitely didn't need a wetsuit there. It was beautiful and warm. So I would probably station myself in a city or in a destination like that where you wouldn't need a wetsuit. You're not going down deep enough either, that where you would really need it. So am I qualified to teach it? Is that what you're asking, isn't it?
No. I think you've stayed your qualifications. Oh, okay. I think we'll move on to the next talk, to the next potential job that you might be good for you.
Right.
Sommelier.
Oh. Yes. I mean, I like a glass of Albino every now and again.
Uh-huh.
That's a very interesting one because, look, I wouldn't say I've got the most sophisticated palate in the world, but I know what I like.
Mm-hmm. And what you like is... wine that tastes like grape juice.
No. I like I like a richer red, I think, more than a fruitier one. I mean, look, champagne is still my preferred choice. I mean,
really?
Yeah.
Like, you would drink that for a full night?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, people do.
I drink it at weddings when there's free champagne.
Now that's a bad hangover, though. It can be.
It depends. If you're just pounding only champagne and no water at all, then yes. But I try to sort of pace it so that I have a little bit of water. So when I was in Delta One last week, I had a little bit of champagne.
Oh,
I can tell you.
Next potential job: zookeeper.
Loves giraffes.
In the Masai Mara, I saw nature's most beautiful animals.
And now you don't want to see them caged up anymore.
No.
But you were a big zoo guy.
I'm a big animals guy. I feel a little uncomfortable sometimes going to zoos because if you know the conditions that you see are not always,
reality.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And again, being in the Masai Mara, man, I mean, I wish people could experience that because you're seeing elephants, giraffes, and lions, literally in their natural environment, and there's nothing preventing them from getting to you either. Like, I had two very spine-tingling experiences there. This elephant, this big black elephant, walked right in front of our safari truck,
and just stopped and stared. And just stared and stared and stared. And the driver was like, just don't say anything. I'm like, is that it? Is that our defense? Just don't say anything. And he's like, it'll go away soon. I'm like, okay.
It's exactly what happened at the Doncic's restaurant.
Yeah. And anyway, the elephant did eventually walk off. But you just know that if those animals decide, it's your time, buddy, they'll come and flip the truck over in a second. And then the other one was, we were driving along off the sort of track, and there were these lions and lionesses there. And we were driving along, and all of a sudden there was a big like ditch in the grassed area, and it made this loud bang, and this lioness just looked up, and I was just like, oh my god, like, because you're not any loud noises unexpected noises and things like that, that's what can spook them. And this lioness just looked up, and I was just like, oh my god, what are we going to do here? And again, fortunately, Benjamin the driver, he just slowly sort of backed up, and then we drove off. And you know, I said to him, just so I know, do we have a gun just in case? And he's like, no, none of that stuff. And I'm like, so what do we do? And he's like, well, you know, they just won't attack you. And I'm like, okay, well, I mean, fair enough, they don't have guns. Fair enough, really, because yeah, otherwise they'd be...
You're right. In their territory.
Exactly, yeah. And but
it is your fault.
No, I mean, look, you do things and you'd be in those situations and you're like, oh god, if I'm gonna go out, this is not really the way I wanted to go out.
Yeah, but because it's like an Australian stereotype. I mean, you're like crocodile hunter. Yeah. Stuff.
Oh, well, but that's what I was about to say, like, that gene apparently doesn't go to all Australians. No. Crocodile hunter would be loving it. He'd be like, yeah. Oh, I hope this elephant stays here.
Yeah.
Look how big its trunk is. And Lee's just shitting his pants. Final job that you might have, Lee.
Yes.
You've been traveling a lot?
Yes.
Flight attendant.
Which class?
You have to take them all. Pick.
You got to put your time in before you move up to first.
It's so funny that you asked that. Well, because I was thinking about this just last week when I was in Delta One. Because when you're in that class,
Lee has become insufferable.
Very, very, absolutely. Now it's like, how do you go back? Any class.
Yeah.
But I know as well from people I know who've been flight attendants, actually they say first class is worse because the people there just expect you to, you know, treat like you're like a
more
slave.
Demanding.
Yeah. Whereas when you're in economy, it's like, here's your food, eat it or don't. I don't care.
You Thank know? You for the nuts.
Yeah. And so I sort of, I mean, there's obviously way more people, and the you know, galleyways there are probably a little tighter and things like that. But I actually think, you know, economy might be an easier job just for that reason, that you don't have to please the customers in the same way you do in those more expensive seats. So, I don't know if I would like to.
Okay, it seems like this is the one you seem least qualified
well,
for.
Well, because I mean, yeah, probably.
Are you a people person?
Sometimes. I mean, you know, that's where I think I'd just be more suited to economy. It's like, this
well,
is
you're
what
not you... scared of flying.
No,
like, a little turbulence doesn't bother you.
Well, I mean, that's actually one thing I haven't said. The irony of me being in Delta One last week, it was one of the most bumpiest rides I've ever had, and I felt nauseous. I was like, see? I mean, you know, you can't brag too much when you're just like, I think I'm going to vomit. It was just like wobbling the whole time, and I'm like, this is not right. But I mean, you know, like not afraid of flying, but at the same time, there's one of these pages I follow on Instagram called Plane Finder. I don't know how there are not multiple plane collisions every single day.
I don't want to talk about it. Well, you know that there's a story that came out that there have been like more close calls in the last, I don't know what it is, like 6 months than there have been and whatever before that.
Well, they broke the record.
I thought they were talking about like they need some kind of oversight.
Yeah, well, they broke the record for 135,000 flights in one day. And I'm like, those small European cities, how are they not just smashing into each other left and right, you know?
Yeah, and I just watched Hijacked, that Idris Elba show on Apple Plus. Now, I know you haven't seen it.
He's like, what's Apple Plus?
That's the irony about when I get on Netflix.
Yeah, what's who's Idris Elba? What's Apple
I've heard of
Plus?
Him. Yeah.
All right, Lee, what's your answer here? Which of these jobs do I think you'd most want to do? Snuba instructor, sommelier, zookeeper, flight attendant?
Probably the snuba. I think. I mean, I definitely think I could spend my days in the ocean. I think that would probably be the one I'd like most. Sommelier, yeah. I mean, you know, sure. Zookeeper, no. And then flight attendant, not really.
Okay, well,
hold on. Do I get to answer?
Oh, yeah, sure, you answer. Yeah, even though it's the job that Lee thinks he wants to do.
Yeah, but it's the job that you think.
Yes,
that,
you're right.
You Lee still, would want yes. to do.
Please go ahead.
Okay, so the get out of here snooba because of the wetsuit thing. I mean, you talk a big game, Lee, but you're not wearing a wetsuit. Let's be honest.
Yeah, but you don't need to. That's what I'm saying.
Well, you might. And also... I don't think you'd want to be the guy sort of looking down in the water, following around these people. That would get old very, very fast.
Well, I think, the instructor has to keep an eye on people very closely because it's difficult to get the breathing right.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
You would lead the industry in open water. So do you remember that movie, Open Water, where the people go scuba diving, then they come up, the boat's gone, and then just all get eaten by sharks?
Yeah. 2 hours of waiting for them to die.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would happen. That would happen to... Every like one person on every one of your tours.
That's right. Okay. all right. Sommelier. I mean, you're disqualified immediately because of your penchant for Moscato. I'm sorry.
Ah. Yeah.
But that just disqualifies you.
And when he's the sommelier, when you're the sommelier, you can't like just tell the person at the restaurant, okay, hold on, I'll ask JD what he wants to order.
I'm disappointed there, JD, because sometimes on a hot summer's day, that Moscato is very nice to go down.
Give beautiful. Me a Prosecco, maybe, but not Moscato. Okay, and then we get to the zookeeper. I think you're 100% right. The conditions, you would not be able to live with yourself doing that job. But what is the number one responsibility of a flight attendant? The number one thing that they're responsible for?
Cleaning
watching
toilets.
Watching Mrs. Doubtfire?
Cleaning toilets. It's safety, guys. Safety.
Oh.
Lee Ellis is all about safety. Remember, every time somebody had an untied shoe on the court, he would point it out. That's not safe.
Not.
Lee Ellis's co-celebrity. He hated J.R. Smith for untying those shoes.
So put me
Lee,
down.
That's why that was. Do you think that was the start of you hating the NBA, Lee, when J.R. Smith untied those shoes at the free throw line?
No. I don't hate the NBA.
You don't. You hate it. You hate the NBA. Just say it. Who won the NBA this year? Who hoisted the Larry O'Brien
Trophy? I was happy
trophy?
To see Jokic and the Nuggets win. I was thrilled.
Okay, that's true.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Yeah.
That's just objective trivia. But I'm glad.
Look, he's just
glad
taking a little break.
I watched it. I watched the first half of every game and then watched the second half in the morning. It was.
Wow,
great.
Nothing much has changed.
No,
I guess.
Exactly. Oh no, 10 o'clock, JD. You would. To get me to talk to me after 10 o'clock at night, you'd have to be naked. That's the only way you would be able to talk
good
to me.
Good to know. Next time I FaceTime you at 10:01, I'll be sure to be naked. Anyway, put me
all
down.
All right, JD, so I assume you're saying
I'm saying flight attendant. Flight attendant is the job.
Okay, you're both wrong. It's Zoo.
Oh,
you love
wow.
giraffes. You spend your whole day with a giraffe. I guess I just don't know you anymore, man.
Well, I mean,
you've been
gone
for too long.
I think I understand why you would have chosen that, but it's just,
okay,
again,
I've
experienced nature in its purest form, and Zoo's like sending him to jail.
Who can go back to the zoo once you've seen the plains of this of what's the word I'm looking for of the Kruger National Park?
No, it wasn't Kruger. No, it was Masai Mara.
Okay, great. Lee, where can people find you and follow your journey?
Just I'm Lee Ellis.
Netflix.com.
Yeah, maybe. Will I watch my own show? That's the question. That's the great question.
Of course you will.
Just Lee Ellis on Instagram. That's really the only place. I mean, I'm on Twitter, but whatever's going on with that now. TikTok, I mean, there's something there, but, you know.
that should be their quote. TikTok, there's something there.
Oh, my God.
TikTok, it's like podcasts,
it's just
but
not,
with video and much shorter.
I can play basketball for 2 hours on concrete and not feel old. I'm on TikTok for 10 minutes and I feel like I'm 1,000 years old, man.
I know.
I don't enjoy it. But, you know, anyway, there and YouTube.
Hey, well, so serious question.
Yeah.
You're four cities away from completing the original thing, right?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. So I have a feeling you'll be done those pretty soon. Like, would you say within the next 3 months?
Possibly.
Okay. Or within the next 6 months?
Yes.
You feel more comfortable
with
that?
Okay. I would think so, yes.
So we're 6 months from now. We might be in the middle of the in-season tournament with that one extra game that you're upset about. What do you do next? Do you try to do more cities? What happens?
Yeah, I mean, as long as I've got interest and invites and offers and people who are willing to help me make it happen, it's going to keep going. I mean, so once again,
even if you don't find a benefactor, whether that be
it doesn't have to be one sponsor. It can be each one can be sponsored separately, individually.
So you're saying like the tourism board or something pays you to go to. Literally can't think of one single country. Cape Town or whatever. Yes. So you go to Cape Town.
Yeah.
And okay, so do you see that as a sustainable business model? Do you think that could happen?
Yes.
Because there's a lot of countries in the world.
No, there's no doubt about it. And again, I feel inspired and encouraged by the amount of messages and emails and things like that. And I think it's reasonable at this point that each city and each country would only really focus on helping fund or fund that particular stop. So if I'm able to generate enough of those sponsorships and then potentially another major sponsor then there's other things. I mean, it's a continual evolution. It's not only about a Netflix series or anything like that. It's about everything. Things like I did in Manila just last week, going out there for a big basketball convention, trying to go for that. So there's no real end goal until I run out of people saying, yeah, no one wants me to go and play there anymore. And that's kind of when...
It'll be the saddest moment of your life.
Yeah, but I, and that's the thing. I feel the opposite of that, where I've got so many offers now that I can't possibly get to them all, because I don't want to be away for.
But what comes first, the offer? Like when you say offer, I assume you mean like a fan of yours from No Dunks or whatever that lives in Rome.
Yeah.
The offer is that fan saying, "Hey, come! I know a cool court here." Or is the offer the tourism board of Rome saying, or Air Italia saying, "Come to, we'll pay for you to come to Rome." What do you mean by that?
Definitely
offer?
The first one. It's like someone says, "Hey, come to my city," and then I'll say, "Do you know a brand or a sponsor or company might be interested in sponsoring it?" It doesn't have to be one sponsor only. It can be like, hey, if we can get three or four on board, then we can make it happen. And then it also becomes like, do you have people who can shoot it and edit it and help put it together? And then if there's an airline or if there's a hotel that wants to be a part of it, so it's all that really. And I would love, obviously, to have a consistent crew, like a producer and an editor and a shooter, if you know anyone.
Well, that's just JD does all three of those things. So JD,
I know, but I also need someone else with him who knows JD and who's maybe worked with him and he's got some time and is in a city where he can travel from easily. So
I'll do a quick brainstorm once we hang up and I'll see if I know anyone.
Hey, listen, man, you know someone and I'm talking to him right now.
You wouldn't want to travel with me
That's the funny thing.
No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't. You say that now.
I'm telling you.
You would not want to do that.
Of all the things I would love, it would be you, me, and JD going traveling, because it wouldn't be smooth and it wouldn't be like... There would be so much frustration and things would go wrong, and how we react to those would be so much so entertaining, because I can see JD just fuming, Matt being frustrated, and me just like, it's great, guys, let's keep going, let's keep doing it.
That is exactly what would happen.
Exactly. And that dynamic is must watch content right there. I'm telling you.
If we're in it, who's shooting us?
Well, again, we're all shooting each other, but no one wants to watch a show that's just like it goes and it's smooth and things work and go to plan. No one wants that.
That is true.
Mm-hmm. Everyone wants to, like, I would kill that guy if I was traveling with him. I couldn't stand to travel with that guy. But they're watching every single show. And that's where it would be hilarious, because, again, when things go wrong, I'm just like, all right, if it's out of my control, I don't let it bother me. But I can also see JD when things, happen like that, getting really upset. But that's like, okay, put the camera on him now. Make sure we capture that side of it. It'd be hilarious, man.
Well, remember to check us out on Patreon, patreon.com/isthisgood. If enough people donate, maybe JD and I.
Let's not joke around. Seriously.
JD and I will be
If someone wants
to
sponsor a trip with the three of us, let's make it happen, man.
Let's do it. I'm in.
Any city in the world you want to go to, we can do it, man. It'll be awesome. I guarantee you'll come away with it.
There you have it. The invitation is open. Of course, for any sponsors to hear that, they would have to listen to a podcast. But let's hope that other people aside from yourself are listening. If you have topics, email us at isthisgoodpod@gmail.com. Rate us on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe on YouTube. Thanks for listening. Thanks to JD. Thanks to Lee for coming on, making his triumphant return to the Classic Factory. Good luck on your next four cities. Good luck on whatever comes after that. I say this like I'm never going to see you again, but hey.
Yeah, we'll I know. You might be on Rome. Those next four, Matt.
I'd prefer Toscana, Lee. Maybe we play a game in Siena? Maybe Firenze?
Man, let's do it. I mean,
okay.
Let's do it.
Okay, but just to be clear, we're not filming anyone playing basketball. That's in our rider, right, JD?
That's 100% right.
I'm not traveling.
You know what? Then fine.
I'm not traveling to Florence to film you shooting.
Yeah,
I've done that for like 10 years.
That's fine. You don't have to do that part of it. You shoot the rest of it. I'll take care of the basketball side of it.
No. How's this? No, this is a rule you have to agree to now. We agree to come with you, but you cannot pick up a basketball.
What's the point of that? But hey, if that's the conditions, though, to get you to go, I'll do it.
Okay, all right. Yeah. Wow, he really wants us, JD. He really wants us.
I'm just telling you, man. Like I'm trying to pull this off myself, and I know it's, you know, enormously challenging, but to have people who, you know, you have worked with, it's like, all right, well, there it goes, man.
All right, perfect. Here we go. I have the next decade of my life already mapped out for me, thanks to this show. Thanks in advance for leaving a 5-star review for everyone. I'm Matt Austin, and this was good. We'll see you, unless your name is Lee Ellis and you won't be listening, next week.
I'm going to listen to this one.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.